We're going to come to look at the scriptures now, and I'm not going to do a reading at the beginning this morning because we're going to refer to various parts of our passages as we go through. But if you have got a Bible and like to have fingers or bookmarks in the appropriate places, you might want to bookmark Deuteronomy 11 and Romans 10, because that's where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. Those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the law may remember that I said in preparation for the sermon that week I'd read the whole of the book of Deuteronomy. It's actually a really good read. There's a few bits of law and technical detail, and there's a few bits that make me squirm and I find a bit difficult to understand, if I'm honest. But there's also some great verses and passages that speak so profoundly of the character of God. I mentioned in that sermon, I think, how often in that book it speaks of the Lord's love, his compassion, his patience, his mercy. And reading through that book, there was one verse in particular that jumped out at me, and it stayed with me since, and I've been pondering it, mulling it over, particularly in the context of what I knew we were going to be trying to focus on this morning. And so we're going to continue, as we have been in our worship, with this idea of the church as a living, breathing, dynamic community of different ages, different nationalities, different life situations. That we are the church here and now, but we are called to be passing on the faith to the church of the future. And in that context, Deuteronomy 11 jumped out at me. It starts with a common theme throughout Deuteronomy: love the Lord your God, keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Then it goes on, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. And then it goes on to list various things that God has done. And then verse 7, but it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Remember, it was not your children who were the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. It was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Let's deal with the difficult word first, because that word discipline, for some of us, myself included, can be a difficult word to read, particularly in the context of God. It can bring to mind the image of God handing out harsh, arbitrary punishments, but that's not actually what it's talking about. If we think of discipline rather as what we might call educational correction, when we look at the acts that are listed, those acts of God dealing with his people, which are designed in love to keep them walking in his way, to show them the wisdom of walking in his way, to protect them from the consequences of going off a different way. We might say, remember today your children aren't the ones who saw and experienced the loving correction of the Lord your God. They haven't, but you have, says God through Moses. Well, what does that tell us? Well, I think firstly it tells us, and the point that Moses is making, is the importance of communicating our experience. Your children, God says, haven't had that experience. They weren't there. They didn't come out of Egypt. They didn't cross the Red Sea. They weren't at Mount Sinai when the cloud came and the voice of God thundered from the heavens. They weren't there when the tabernacle was built. They weren't there when the people grumbled against God and threatened to rebel. They weren't there when in loving response he brought water from the rock and he brought manna from the heavens. They weren't there. They didn't experience that. But you were there. You saw all that with your own eyes. Yes, you yourselves, many of you, were only children at the time. But you were there. You saw it. You experienced it firsthand. And you must pass on that experience to the next generation. You must tell them what happened, what you saw, what you heard, what you felt. Because he says, you are going into the land now. You're going into the promised land. You're going to take it over. You're going to live there according to the commands I've given you. But you can't expect the next generation to do that if you haven't given them reason why. If you haven't taught them of your God. If you haven't told them about who he is, about his character, about his love, about his provision, his protection, his glory, his might, his majesty, his holiness. He goes on, chapter 11, verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and your minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, in every single aspect of the life that you live together as community, be talking about God, who he is, what he has done. Because if you want the next generation, and yes, he's talking about physical children here, but as we will see, I think we can talk about, yes, the physical children that we have amongst us, but actually the next generation of this church, whoever they might be, whatever age they might be, if you want them to make a success of this, if you want them to live in the land in the right way and to be blessed there, then you need to take seriously the commands to teach them everything that I've taught you. Because who else is going to? If you don't tell them about God, they won't know it. They won't believe it. They won't live it. Paul says something similar in Romans 10, which is going to be our other main passage that we focus on. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them? And so I think there's the challenge to each of us today, each and every one of us. Are we taking seriously this challenge to pass on the faith to the next generation? And as I said, we mustn't take it too narrowly, not just our own children. As the African proverb says, it takes a village to raise a child. There's a collective vision to the next physical generation. And I'm not just talking in that too, either in a Sunday school setting. We are short of Sunday school teachers at the moment, but actually it's not just about that. Informally, in conversation, are we getting to know our young people so that we can share with them the experience of God that we have? And are we getting to know also potentially the next generation of spiritual children? The people at the garden gate, like Ruth has reminded us, who've not yet had that experience for themselves. Are we beginning the conversations that might lead to being able to share our experience? Because they weren't there, they haven't had it, but we have. Paul, a little earlier in Romans 10, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a message for everyone. It's not something for us to keep to ourselves. It's not an experience that we've had and we say, oh, wasn't that great? Don't we feel good? It's an experience to share and to seek to pass on. And I think it's important too in that context as we think about sharing our faith to think, look at what it is that we're communicating. Because it's one thing, and it's right, and it's important that we do communicate the facts about God. It's important that we do teach the Bible stories, that we do tell people about Jesus, about what he did when he walked on this earth. And we must be passing on that those stories to the next generation. But there's other stories we need to pass on too. Are we telling our children about our own experience, about our own stories? Because yes, our children weren't there in the wilderness of Sinai or the promised land. They weren't there when Jesus walked the earth. Well, actually, neither were we. We can't tell those stories, important as they are, firsthand. But But I hope and pray that we do have stories that we can tell as first-hand experience. We were there when we first encountered Jesus for ourselves. We were there when we received his Holy Spirit. We were there when we followed him through the waters of baptism. We were there when his loving presence sustained us through times of crisis, when he miraculously provided for the needs that we didn't even know we had. We were there. We lived that. We experienced that. Have we told anybody? Have we told our children? Have we told the next generation? Because I think what Moses is wanting to encourage the people here, and what I would want to encourage us this morning, is don't dismiss the importance of your own experience. It's real. It has integrity. And however small we may think it may have been, however long ago it may have been, these people have been walking in the desert for 40 years. Almost none of those who'd come out of Egypt as adults were still alive. A lot of what they were communicating, these stories that Moses is saying, you must pass these on, you must share these, they'd happened in their long-distant childhood. But they were still valid experience, they were still valid testimony, they were still stories that other people needed to hear. The importance of communicating our experience. But we must ask the question, why? What's the purpose of this communication? Why are we seeking to pass on what we have seen and heard of our God? Well, the purpose, I think, clearly in Deuteronomy and for us too, is that they might experience it for themselves. It's there in Deuteronomy 11. I'll find the right page. Don't want to read Deuteronomy 10:13. That's totally different. Deuteronomy 11:13. If you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your corn, your new wine, and your olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. In other words, as you tell your children of your experience, and as a result, they live by that experience, and they believe it, and they obey what I am telling you today, they will too have their own experience. They then will experience the blessing of God on them in the land. They will experience the loving provision of God. As they see how God has blessed you and provided for you, they might begin to trust that he will do the same for them. Begin to trust that to live in his way is the best way. And as they trust that, and as they begin to live that, they will experience the confirmation this is right and true. Paul says the same thing in Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. In other words, it's not just enough just to have that saying you'll believe, that head knowledge. There's the belief in the heart which comes from the experience through that lived and believed faith through which, says Paul, we are saved. Because yes, it is important that the next generation, physical or spiritual, hear of our experiences, hear of the experiences of others. But we can't live off others' experiences. Another well-known phrase, God has no grandchildren. His desire is that each of us should experience him for ourselves, that we might believe in our hearts and not just with our heads that he is Lord. And so as we're seeking to communicate our faith to the next generation, we must keep in our minds what we are trying to achieve. We're not just trying to tell stories, whether be they Bible stories or our own stories. We're not just teaching the right answers. We're certainly not seeking to bring about an outward conformity to a set of behavior. I went to Sunday school pretty much every week of my childhood, apart from when I was ill, and I wasn't ill very often as a child. And my Sunday school teachers were all good, well-meaning people. And in many ways, I learned so much. I still remember months, I think it must have been months, it felt like years at the time, with a Sunday school teacher who was a qualified art teacher, building a scale model of the tabernacle the Israelites carried in the wilderness. And I can still remember every detail of that tabernacle. I could tell you all the stories of the Old Testament. I could tell you all the stories of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. I could probably tell you many of them better at age 18 than I can now. But what that didn't enable was an experience of Jesus for myself. And that's not through the fault of my Sunday school teachers in many ways. I'm sure that's what they genuinely wanted for each one of us. But there wasn't any space in the way we did Sunday school to allow that personal experience. It was all about teaching. There wasn't the space for the Holy Spirit to come and to work in that place. I think that's the challenge for each of us involved with our children, talking about physical children for a minute. Do we allow that space for God to work? Yes, through what we're teaching, but actually over and above that, directly into the hearts of our young people. So when they hear the stories of the Bible, all the stories of our experience, over time, they can be replaced with their own stories, their own experiences, which they can then pass on to the next generation. And actually, do we allow the space the other way too? The space for our children and young people to share the experience of God that they've already had. As I said, these Israelites that Moses was speaking to are being urged on to pass on the experiences that they had as children. They'd experienced God there. They'd seen him at work. And so too our young people have. And we need to allow them to share those stories. But also as we think about the next generation, not just of young people. Within all that we do and say as the community of God, do we allow space for that experience? It's a challenge for those of us who lead worship. It's a challenge for those of us who preach. Yes, we stand here and we tell the stories of Scripture. We tell the stories of our own lives and experiences, I've just done. But do we do so with the intention of allowing people and enabling people to then build on those stories for themselves? Because we can't just live off other people's experience. Because ultimately, God's desire is for each of us to have our own story with him. His desire is to bless. And he calls us to respond to him in love so that he can bless us with the experience of his presence and his love. For Old Testament Israel, that took the form of physical blessing. Time and again, there's those promises. If you will obey me, if you will follow my commands, if you will show that you love me, then I will do this positive, good thing for you. It's there five times just in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Phrases effectively to the extent of, if you follow these commands, then I will bless you in this way. And it's there, you know, throughout the whole of that book and indeed throughout the whole of Scripture. That reminder time and again, see that you obey what I'm calling you to obey. See that you listen. See that you walk with me and then I will bless you. That's why God is so keen for them to pass this faith on to the next generation. So the next generation might know that relationship, might live with him, might know that blessing. Because yes, he speaks too throughout those passages of the consequences of failing to obey. He speaks of judgment, of what might happen if they go their own way. But what shines through is his deep, deep desire that that is not what will happen. Deuteronomy 11:26. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away by following other gods. Yes, it's a choice. And he sets that stark choice before them with the consequences of each of those choices. But immediately afterwards, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I'm setting before you. That's what he wants. Yes, it's a choice, but please, says God, make the right choice. Because I want that relationship with you. I want to bless you. And the tragedy of the Old Testament story is the extent to which the people ignored that entreaty. They didn't share their experience with the next generation. They didn't encourage their children to know God for themselves. At times it got to the stage where there was generations who barely even knew who God was. They certainly didn't follow through with the call that we haven't really mentioned, that's there again through the Old Testament, to make God known beyond their nation to the nations of the world. But God didn't change. God's desire didn't change, which is why when we come to Romans, we find that same message. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord blesses all who call on him. Still, that desire to bless, that desire for that personal relationship, that personal experience with each one, still offering that experience freely to all who come to him. Not now the physical blessing that the Israelites were promised, but the blessing of salvation, of rescue, of eternal security, of blessing in Jesus. Still offered, and still offered today. Still a choice. Still a choice for each one of us. Will we accept the blessings which we offer? Will we open ourselves to that experience? Will we allow him to change our hearts so that we truly can confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts and live in our hearts that God raised him from the dead? Many of us, most of us, maybe even all of us, I can't see our hearts, who are gathered in this room have had that experience, some experience of God for ourselves. And for some of us, it might seem small, it might seem faint, it might seem distant. Maybe it was a long time ago. But it's still our experience of our loving God. And so the question I think I leave us with this morning is, are we willing to share that experience? To share it with others, particularly with those who've not yet met God for themselves. With the next generation, be that the little ones, or be that somebody aged 90 who we happen to know, who's just never encountered God for themselves, who might be the next spiritual generation. Whatever age, those who will be God's people in the future. But they'll only be God's people in the future if we open up to them how they can be so. If we tell them what God has done for us, if we tell them of his desire to bless them in Jesus. Because they've not yet lived it for themselves. And unless and until they do, they won't live in accordance with God's call, and they won't know the fullness of the blessing that he desires to lavish on them. And so let's each of us be encouraged that we have an experience worth sharing. We have stories that people need to hear. And let's do everything we can to share what we've seen of God at work, so that others may come to see and believe, and together we might be the next generation of the people of God in this place. Let's just take a few moments, and I just want to encourage you, just as we reflect, just to ponder this. If you had to share one story, one experience of what God has done, something that you have seen and known and felt personally, what would it be? However small it might seem, however much it might not fit the box that you have in your head of what it's supposed to look like when God works, but it was meaningful for you, what would that story be? I'm not going to force anybody to share, but I'm going to encourage each of us, let's be open to where God might be prompting us to share that story. Might be with somebody here over coffee after the service this morning. Or it might be during the course of the week with somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus. What would that story be? And if you really can't think of anything, I would encourage you, don't leave this morning without talking either to myself or a member of the leadership team or the prayer ministry team, because we'd love to pray with you that you might experience God for yourselves and have a story of your own which you can pass on. Loving God, we thank you that you are a God who works through experience and through stories. We thank you for all the stories of Scripture in which we can see your working with your people, your patience, your love, your care. We thank you for the stories of Jesus in whom we see you in all your fullness. We thank you for the stories of his death and resurrection, which we've remembered round the table this morning, in which we see the climax of human history as salvation is won for each one of us. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to tell those stories. But also, Lord, that you will help us to tell our story of what you have done in us and for us, of the place that we have in your great story of human history, and to invite others to come and experience you for themselves, so that they might have their stories to pass on to another generation. Draw near to us. Give us a fresh experience and the encouragement to share all that we know of you, that your church might grow, that we might see in that statement that Ruth shared with us, if we do take it to Beverly, we might see the church here growing, and new people coming in, and new communities coming in, of people who have their story of the work of Jesus in their life. Come by your Spirit, we pray.